This is Fresh Air. I'm Ken Tucker, sitting in for Terry Gross, and while the cat's away, the mice will play. Today, we feature a special concert with a unique extended family, sisters Kate and Anna and Jane McGarrigle, Loudon Wainwright III, Kate and Loudon's children Rufus and Martha, and Anna's daughter Lily Lankin. They were accompanied by Chaim Tannenbaum and Michelle Pepin on guitar, Joel Zifkin on violin, and Lily's father Dane Lankin on backup vocals. All of them appear on a new CD called The McGarrigle Hour. Kate and Anna were raised speaking English and French in their native Quebec and have gathered a fervent following for their serene, witty, and poignant albums over the past two decades. Loudon Wainwright, the wasp with the most sting in American folk music, is known for songs that offer fearless glimpses into his personal life. And at the age of 24, Rufus Wainwright has released his own first album to admiring reviews for its distinctive range of pop, folk, and cabaret influences. We recorded the concert at Indre Studios in South Philadelphia, where the scene quickly took on the loose, genial air of a family reunion. During the sound check, Loudon and Rufus were making plans for lunch in Manhattan. Kate asked Rufus where his solo tour was taking him next, and everyone else was trying to figure out their airline schedules back to Canada. After some spirited debate, the first song the clan settled on was Loudon's School Days, on which you'll hear the paired harmonies of Kate and Anna, then Rufus and Martha, and Loudon and Chaim Tannenbaum. Loudon, that was the first song on your first album released when, like in 1970 or 71?
It was recorded in 69 and the record came out in 70.
Yeah. You now sing it, all of you, including your children, past school age. What does the song mean to you now when you hear it and perform with them?
Well, it's exciting and just thinking of all that publishing money I'm making.
Yes, Kate, it's a little surprising to see a Loudon song opening up this CD. What was that gesture of generosity about?
It was Anna's idea.
It was Anna's idea. Anna, what was that idea behind that very generous...
Well, the very first time I ever heard Loudon on record, I guess I heard that song, and it just it's stuck with me ever since. I think it's a fantastic song. I think it's always contemporary. There's a great youthfulness about it that I relate to because I'm such a young thinking person.
How did you come up with the idea for the McGarrigle Hour to do this recording?
It was actually Joe Boyd's idea. He's the producer on it. He produced our first two records. And when we signed with him in 1993 to do a record for Rykodisc, we wanted to do a record of our songs. And he said he wanted to do a live record at some point down the line. But he didn't define like what live meant. It could have been anything, like in a concert or something. And he actually came up with the idea. He thought like we can get some names on there, we could sell more records. It's kind of the way they do things there. And then he called me up. He said, "Do you mind if I ask Loudon to be on?" I said, "No, not at all. It'd be great idea, you know." And
but also you have to say that there was a lot. Sorry, I'm Rufus, by the way. But you have to say that there was a lot of albums coming out together. Like mine was coming out, and my father had just come out with one, and it
Little Ship.
Yeah, and there was sort of. You know, my sister Martha was writing a lot of songs at that point, so
you were saturating
a pungent period.
Yes, you were saturating the market at that point.
We were trying. Well, it's kind of like why all those turtles go out and all get born at the same time. We figure if you send everything out at the same time, something will catch. Something will, make it to the water. Something will live. Yeah.
And it's one thing to record these things in the studio, but then to go out on tour together. I mean, whose idea was that to go out and actually perform these songs?
Well, the record company wanted us to go, and we said, we can't do any of these songs. Like, we didn't have anybody with us. Everybody was in different places. So the first person we drafted was Lily Langan, who... at this point is still the cheapest, costs the least amount of money. So we put her on all Emmy Lou's parts, and
that's Anna's daughter.
Yes. And then we happened to run into Loudon. We were doing some shows with Loudon on the West Coast, and we didn't really rehearse this stuff a whole lot. Just like before going on stage, we kind of like, can you take this part? Could you be, you know, Loudon? Could you be Rufus? Lily? Could you be, you know, whatever? We just kind of had all the lyrics and stuff like that.
Well. I guess I should explain to our listeners, Kate and Loudon separated, divorced in the late 70s. I wonder how, if you had any trepidation about reuniting musically, was this a very amicable thing? What sort of reaction did you have when you were invited to go out?
I was when I got the call, Kate called me, and I was very pleased to be asked. Which is not to say that I wasn't a little nervous about it. I mean,
in a way,
well, we've kind of reunited as a family, at least the four of us, and then the extended family, you know. It was great to see Dane again and, you know, all of our friends and play together, and it felt very natural once we started doing it.
And I think also, I mean, Loudon and I used to sometimes play around the living room 25-odd years ago, and we always had fun kind of playing together. It was nice.
We're talking to a gaggle of Wainwrights and McGarrigles. I'm Ken Tucker. This is Fresh Air. Rufus, your influences seem to be very different from that of your parents, who are essentially rooted in folk music. What kind of music were you also interested in when you were growing up?
I was sort of normal for a while as a young child, into the whatever the Eurythmics or even stuff that my parents were into, like the Everly Brothers, and we listened to a lot of Edith Piaf and in Montreal and French and stuff, and you know, pretty standard stuff for my musical family and also for my generation. But then at 14, I had sort of a religious cataclysmic experience with opera, and I got very, very into opera, and for about five years after that, all I ever listened to was opera, pretty much. And thought myself had this dream, which I still sort of maybe have, of being a composer and, you know, total artiste. Uh-huh.
He didn't want to play the banjo on the back porch.
I didn't. Oh,
that was it. There's a song you have on your album called Beauty Mark, which is about your mother. How'd you come to write this, to choose this as an image to make into a song?
Well, my mother and I had a very... still having like a lot of fathers, daughters, like a lot of mothers and sons have a very intense relationship. And basically, she was always very interested in what I was doing musically. But on one hand, very interested, but on the other hand, quite critical, mm-hmm. and quite and wanted her two cents put in into, you know, whatever. Was not afraid to speak her mind. Mm-hmm. Anyways, and for a long time, I was writing. This was right after I'd gotten into opera and composing and stuff, and I think I was writing these pieces, these songs, which were tremendous, which were just a little over the top, and kind of over dramatic and stuff. And she'd always tell me that, so you're never going to get anywhere. Nobody wants to hear that stuff. And this
so
song.
So she was tremendously supportive.
Yes, supportive. Yeah. Yes. And but yeah, and anyway, so I kind of, when I wrote Beauty Mark, it was a bit of a. And that's the song I think you're talking about. Mm-hmm. Beauty Mark, it was basically sort of a rebuttal to that, to say, you know, all right, well, I can write some kind of vast, jingly, vague pop tune if you want, and whatever. And it was basically to shut her up a little.
But it also turned out
in a good way
to be a very pretty song.
Yeah. But in the song, the subject of the song is, it's a loving song, but it's also, there's a bit of friction in there as well.
Right. Would you play it for us?
Sure.
Thanks. Can you do that now?
Yeah, I can do that.
What? Play?
Okay. One, two, three.
That's Young Rufus. We're listening to a concert with the McGarrigal and Wainwright families and assorted friends recorded at the Indre Studios in South Philadelphia. The same voices can be heard on the new Hannibal CD, The McGarrigal Hour. We'll be back after a short break. This is Fresh Air. Back with more of our concert with Kate and Anna McGarrigal, Loudon Wainwright, most of their children, and some of their friends.
Loudon, one could compile a good jam-packed CD's worth of songs that you've written about your family, your marriage, your children as infants, as adolescents. Has writing like this sometimes estranged you even further from your family?
Well, everybody's still talking to me.
Uh-huh. Well, I'd like to ask you to do one of those family-related biographical songs, this one involving Martha.
Who's in the building.
Yes, yes, she is indeed, called Hitting You.
Yeah. Okay. This is it. Long ago I hit you. We were in the car. You were crazy in the back seat. It had gone too far. I pulled the auto over. I hit you with all my might. I knew right away it was too hard. I'd never make it right. I was aiming for your buttock, but I struck your outer thigh. You had on a bathing suit, and right before our eyes, suntanned skin turned crimson where the hand had hit. And my palms stung from hitting you so hard that I hurt it. Against the law in Sweden, charges can be filed. Here it's all too common, a parent hits a child. On your face I saw the shock, then I saw the pain. Then I saw the look of fear, the fear I'd strike again. Then I saw your anger, your defiant pride. And then I saw one teardrop, the rest you kept inside. I said I was sorry and I tried to clean the slate. But with that blow I'd sown a seed, I saw it was too late. Things are awful between me and you. All we do is argue like two people who are through. I blame you, your friends, your school, your mother, and MTV. Last night I almost hit you. That blame belongs to me. Long ago I hit you. We were in the car. You were crazy in the back seat. It had gone too far. Pull the auto over. I hit you with all my might. I knew right away it was too hard. I'd never make it right.
That's Loudon Wainwright. Thank you very much. Martha, I wanted to the logical question to ask you is how did you feel the first time you heard that song?
The first time I heard it, I remembered that incident, and I had forgotten it.
Oh, really?
And I was happy to remember it because I have a very bad memory. So in a lot of ways, I'm very happy to have these things, to be reminded of moments. You know,
these little cruel moments.
But they're they're little segments of time, mm-hmm. that, and you can remember the feeling. And I think I come off quite well in the song. You know, I mean, I'm. Holding back my tears, and he feels really bad about it, and doesn't talk. You know, I mean,
she really was very obnoxious that day. She deserved it.
The thing that I'm surprised about is that my reaction wasn't more obnoxious. You uh-huh. know,
can you remember that time of your life? Can you remember? Does one think in that
yes.
time of getting on one's parents' nerves?
Yeah, but also I think it's the whole thing of the back of the car and the bathing suit. Remind
reminds me of the times that I spent with Loudon, which would be mostly in the summertime, mm-hmm. you know, and going to the beach and so it conjures up that time, you know, spending with him.
Right.
There wasn't that much hitting going on.
No.
Yeah.
So Rufus could be a bratty brother, we're learning.
Oh, he was horrible.
Oh.
I was once pulled over
by the police for hitting Rufus in the car.
Is that right?
And the police stopped me, and then I said, I can't drive. I'm all alone with these two kids. And the police took Rufus out, and he said, you behave and be a nice boy to your mother.
Really?
No, but also, mother, we were crying, and he said to me, the policeman said to me, did your mother hit you? And you had, not very hard. It wasn't that serious. But I said, and I knew immediately, though, I said, no.
Right.
She didn't touch me.
It's the dead of winter, and they were all in bathing suits.
But it's weird when, like, a law figure comes in.
But it's significant that you could remember that, and yet you would not be moved to write a song like that the way Loudon would be. What is that in you that does not become grist for the musical mill?
I don't like to write about hitting people. I'm a pacifist.
We're conducting music and family therapy here with the Wainwright and McGarrigle clans. More breakthroughs in the second half of our show. I'm the annoying cousin they never knew they had, Ken Tucker. This is Fresh Air. This is Fresh Air. I'm Ken Tucker, hosting a concert with one of the best-known extended families in folk music, Kate, Anna, and Jane McGarrigle, Loudon Wainwright and his eldest children, Loudon and Kate used to be married, and assorted musical relations and friends. Loudon, Rufus, and Martha Wainwright all traffic in autobiography in their music, but I asked Kate about the fact that she and Anna seem to shy away from direct details about their lives in their own songs.
I think it's because we work as a duo. I mean, sometimes I think also, like, the basis for a lot of our songs aren't, I mean, there may be experiences we've had, but we try and put them a little bit, like, they're running through the thing, mm-hmm. but we're not necessarily as literate, no, what's that called?
Literal.
Thank you, love.
Well, except for a song like I Eat Dinner, which is very direct and very...
Yes, but I didn't write that about me. I actually wrote that was a good example. I mean, that was happening to me.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd seen the image in a Frida Kahlo book, in the book about Frida Kahlo, when she's left alone and she says, for the first time in my life, I'm eating at a kitchen table and I'm eating leftovers. And I thought, like, whoa, that's really kind of...
Well, that's interesting, because I would have thought that I Eat Dinner would indeed have been written about yourself.
Well, it is, but I watch television when I eat dinner.
Uh-huh.
I don't eat in the kitchen.
I think that's a very good introduction to do that song.
Okay. One, two, three.
I eat dinner at the kitchen table by the light that switches on. I eat leftovers with mashed potatoes. No more candlelight, no more romance, no more small talk when the hunger's gone.
Thank you.
small talk when the plate is clean. No more candlelight, no more romance, no more small talk when the hunger is gone. When the hunger is gone. When the hunger is gone. When the hunger is gone.
Kate and Anna McGarrigle with Joel Zifkin on violin and Martha Wainwright on beautiful backing vocals. Thank you so much. That's a gorgeous song. It seems to me to transcend any kind of genre. I know, Anna, I know that the roots of a lot of your music is in folk music, one of your first professional kind of configurations was you and Kate as half of the Mountain City Four.
That's right.
With Chaim Tannenbaum and Dane Lankin, who are here today playing. Did you consider yourself folk singers? Were you folkies as you started out?
Yeah, we were folkies. We were folkies, and then we went through that sort of Beatle mania thing, but then we reverted back to the folk thing, but also retained a healthy appreciation and love for pop music. So I think we've tried to meld the two things.
Yeah, I think that's probably what gives so many of your songs that kind of, as I said, that kind of transcending any particular genre.
Anna always preferred the Supremes to the Weavers.
I see.
They were better looking.
And the Beatles versus Stones preference, which did you?
Both of them. I like both of them.
I see. There is a song on the CD, though, that kind of harks back to those folk roots. It's called Green, Green, Rocky Road. Would you play that for us?
Yes, we'd be very happy to.
Baltimore, got no carpet on my floor. Please get up and follow me. We'll go down in a history.
Green, rocky road, promenade in green. Tell me who you love, tell me who you
battered on the sun.
Green, rocky road, promenade in green. Tell me who you love, tell me who you
Booker, Tooker, soda cracker, does your
got no carpet on my floor. Come along and follow me. We'll go down in history.
That's a live performance of a folk music chestnut that can also be heard on a new CD, The McGarrigle Hour, featuring the McGarrigle and Wainwright clans with longtime collaborator Chaim Tannenbaum and other musicians. Our concert was recorded live in Philadelphia. We'll be back after a short break. This is Fresh Air. We're hearing a live recorded concert with the Wainwrights and the McGarrigles. After separate tours at home and abroad, they gathered to perform for us.
I'd like to bring Lily Lankin, daughter of Anna, into the proceedings. Lily, growing up, what sort of relationship did you have with your Aunt Kate and your cousins? I'm curious.
I had a good relationship with them. We used to, when they all lived in Montreal, we used to hang out a lot, and everyone was really close.
Uh-huh.
And now that Rufus and Punny, or Martha, I should say, are off on tour all the time, I don't get to see them as much, but we were very close, or at least I thought so.
I'm always curious about the younger members of the family. Did you ever go through one of those, you know, rebellious adolescent periods when you rejected the music of your family and said, I'm going to go off and start a speed metal band, goodbye?
I don't know. I don't think I'm not very rebellious, so it hasn't happened, but maybe.
Uh-huh. Well, there's a song on the album called Skip Rope Song. It's a Jesse Winchester song. It's a lovely song, and I'd like you to sing it if you will.
All right.
Thank you.
Scissors flew among the girls, and girls went everywhere. I gathered up the falling locks and carried them away, and put them in a silver box and keep them to this day. Scared to make the rules, and we have all the fun, and we have all the fun.
And now I am in love with you, and hope that you will stay and prove that my love is true. I'll throw the curls. Now I am in love with you, and hope that you will stay, and to prove that my love is true, I'll throw the curls away. And to prove that my love is true, I'll throw the curls away.
That's Skip Rope's song. That is a Jesse Winchester song. And do you have a relationship, a friendship with Jesse Winchester, didn't you? I think that around the time that the Vietnam War, when Jesse Winchester was a draft resister and went to Canada, is that the first time you met him?
We knew about Jesse because he often used to open for people at this coffee house called the New Penelope. And I remember one night he was opening for the Mothers of Invention, I believe. And nobody was listening to him because he was very introverted, very quiet, a beautiful singer, but, you know,
and waiting,
I mean, didn't relate at all to the audience.
Right. They were waiting for Frank Zappa to come
exactly,
and freak out.
With his two drummers.
Drummers.
Anyway, but we met him later. It might have been 3 or 4 years later, and he did become a close friend in the late 60s. And he once helped us move when nobody else was around. Kate and I had to get out of this apartment really quickly.
A fine songwriter and a strong back, too.
Yes. Actually, no, he's pretty weak. But yeah, no, but a good person and a great songwriter.
Okay, this has been really terrific. We're going to close out with Goodnight, Sweetheart, but before we do, I want to thank everybody here, Kate and Anna McGarrigle, Martha and Rufus Wainwright, Loudon Wainwright III, I'm going to remember everybody, I swear. Lily Lankin, Chaim Tannenbaum, Michel Pepin, Joel Zifkin on violin and bass, Dane Lankin on vocals. Thank you all so much.
Thank you, Ken.
Thank you very much, Ken.
You forgot our sister Janie, who will be playing the piano on the next song.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Don't forget Janie, Ken.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Oh, I'm so sorry. Let me do this again. This has been really great. I really appreciate you all coming to play for us. We're going to close out with Goodnight, Sweetheart, but before we do, I want to thank sisters Kate, Anna, and Jane McGarrigle, Loudon Wainwright III, Rufus and Martha Wainwright, Joel Zifkin on violin and bass, Chaim Tannenbaum on any number of instruments, Michel Pepin, and Dane Lankin. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Ken.
Thank you. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank
you. You missed Lily this time.
Oh, no.
I saw that. All right, let's nail it now, Ken.
All right, sorry, this is all my fault.
Take 47 of the goodbye. You're rolling.
All right. This has really been terrific. Thank you so much. We're going to go out on Goodnight, Sweetheart, appropriately enough, also the last song on the McGarrigle Hour CD. First, I'd like to thank everyone here, sisters Kate, Anna, and Jane McGarrigle, Loudon Wainwright III, Rufus Wainwright, Martha Wainwright, Lily Lankin, her father Dane Lankin, Chaim Tannenbaum, Michel Pepin, Joel Zifkin on violin and bass. Have I left anyone out?
No.
No.
No. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4. Good night, sweetheart, till we meet tomorrow. Good night, sweetheart, sleep will banish sorrow. Tears and longing may make you forlorn, but with the dawn, a new day is born. So my love will guide you.
We've been listening to a live concert with the McGarrigles and the Wainwrights and their friends. A new album containing much of this lovely music is The McGarrigle Hour on Hannibal Ryko Disc.